This is Radio Superior 1957, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
Come, this is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Let's go once more.
Hey, 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 you guys, all cats and kittens, Tim Michaels rocking your world. It's a radioactive Tuesday, September 3rd, 1957. The big DA, Dennis Anderson, has the 6 o'clock news. Cool Cal's here with the sports. The community Chesters are in waiting to lay it on you and fill in that chest. Kind of a Robert Louis Stevenson Treasure Island thing. And it's back to school time.
What about my tall TV news? This is the future we're talking about, seeing movies on your home TV.
No time, Joey-O, no time. Got to do the news and rock and roll.
Think of it. Cary Grant in your living room.
I prefer Marilyn Monroe in my living room. I prefer Marilyn Monroe in any room. Star Edsel is footing the bill for the 6 o'clock news. Now you can see and drive the new Edsel. It'll be unveiled tomorrow at Star Edsel as Edsel joins the fine family of Ford cars. See it. Drive it tomorrow at Star Edsel, 1707 North 14th Street, Superior. It's all yours, Big Denny.
Think you said Edsel enough times? National Guardsmen surround Little Rock High School as the school board calls off racial integration, Russians rocked in rocket race, and a big crowd greets new U.S. Senator Proxmire. We begin our world report from Arkansas.
This is Bill Cortez in Little Rock. Only white students went to class at Little Rock Central High today, while about 200 white adults stood outside the ring of National Guardsmen placed there last night by Governor Orville Faubus. None of the 9 Negroes scheduled to enter the 1,000-pupil high school today showed up, apparently in compliance with a school board request. The board called off the scheduled integration after the governor ordered the troops to the school grounds, in effect halting the planned race mixing. Mr. Faubus told the television audience last night that to maintain peace and order, the school had to remain segregated, at least for the time being. There was loud hand clapping and a few rebel yells when a teenaged boy unfurled the Confederate flag. He soberly told the newsman, quote, "This is no gag," unquote. Members of the Capitol Citizens Council distributed leaflets, including this sentence, quote, "We can and will abolish tax schools if necessary," unquote. About a dozen National Guard jeeps and trucks were parked bumper to bumper in front of the school, and a half-track weapons carrier, with the weapons removed, blocked one street. A few guardsmen congregated across the street from the crowd, and others were strung out along a two-block front of the building, and two or more were stationed at each of the entrances. In Little Rock, this is Bill Cortez.
This is Alfred M. Schock in Charlotte, North Carolina. Arkansas Governor Faubus called on National Guardsmen to keep order at Little Rock Central High School, where 9 Negro pupils had enrolled for opening classes today. The situation could be a backdrop for the first clear test of state police power in opposition to federal law. In North Carolina, Negro and white children for the first time are ready to study side by side. Greensboro will begin its mixed classes today, Charlotte tomorrow, and Winston-Salem on Thursday. 6 Negro pupils are enrolled for mixed classes at Greensboro and 4 here in Charlotte. In Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte is located, 16 Negro children denied admission to white schools voiced the possibility of a court test in turning down the Negro's application for assignment to white schools. County School Board says it is aware of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling which outlawed school segregation, but it adds it is also aware of the crowded conditions of their schools. For the second year at Clinton, Tennessee, Negro pupils expected to take their places among white children. Last year there was violence. This year none is expected when the 8 Negroes enrolled at Clinton High School report together with the 750 white students. Next week, and also under court order, Nashville begins integrated classes. 13 Negro first graders have been registered in schools that heretofore have been all white. 7 of the 17 southern states so far have avoided integration in their public schools. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Virginia. In Charlotte, this is Alfred M. Schock.
This is Douglas Larson in Washington. 6 weeks of probing America's most secret facilities produced credible evidence that this country has not been outdistanced by the Russians in the intercontinental ballistic missile race. In an effort to learn just how we stand in missile warfare, a team of reporters has assembled all basic information which can be cleared for publication by Defense Department sources. It is reassuring, if you can be reassured, to believe that your side is just as well equipped to wipe out the other fellow as he is to wipe us out. It reveals, however, conflicts in authority and uncertainty in direction, which must constitute the number one problem of incoming Secretary of Defense Neil McElroy. The Russian announcement last week that they had already tested an ICBM is certainly not going to lower this priority. It will take the Russians years to acquire missiles they can really use, not merely test one somewhere in Siberia. Our own tests may be just about as impressive. It is likely that our test firings have extended up to 3,500 miles. By the same token, the Russian propaganda rocket of last week may have carried no farther. These attributes make it an almost perfect weapon for an aggressor to launch a sneak attack like Pearl Harbor, only multiplied by a factor of thousands or millions. In Washington, this is Douglas Larson.
This is London, Harold E. Brown reporting. Experts on Russia will be arguing for months the full meaning of the Kremlin's ouster of four top Red officials, V.M. Molotov, Georgi Malenkov, Lazar Kaganovich, and Dmitry Shepilov. But one thing seems clear. Whatever the causes of the move, whatever the obvious evidence of policy differences among the ruling Soviet clique, the fact is that someone in the Soviet Union now has dominant power to enforce such a sweeping dismissal. Some will say right off that it is Communist Party boss Nikita Khrushchev. Others will give very special weight to war hero Marshal Zhukov's appearance as a full member of the reigning Presidium, successor to the Politburo, and say that it is a Khrushchev-Zhukov operation, or that the Red Army in fact rules the nation through Khrushchev. Officially, the Kremlin says one big reason for the ouster were that these men were warmongers who were against relaxing international tensions and improving Russia's relations with the rest of the world. We, of course, do not have to buy this line. Khrushchev, Bulganin, and others still in the ruling pyramid have supported such actions as the political assault on Marshal Tito in Yugoslavia, the Red Invasion of South Korea 7 years ago, the smashing of Hungary's revolt, and the threat of similar force against Poland last fall. But it may be a slight cause for encouragement that men like Khrushchev, who have at least given lip service to peace and disarmament, will now have a freer hand in charting the Russian course. In London, this is Harold E. Brown.
Russia served notice today she is ready to go on discussing basic questions of disarmament in the five-power United Nations conference in London. But in spite of prodding by Western power delegate, Soviet delegate Valerian Zorin made no new comments on the Western plan for a limited East-West disarmament treaty. The wide-ranging plan then drew forth a fierce attack by the Soviet delegate, who appeared to reject its main terms. The impasse was pointed up in a letter made public today from Prime Minister Harold Macmillan to Soviet Premier Nikolai Bulganin, urging some real progress in the talks. Macmillan told Bulganin the Western proposals are, quote, an important contribution, both practical and imaginative, toward agreement between us, unquote. U.S. disarmament delegate Harold Stassen says, quoting now, we just keep on trying in the interest of avoiding a nuclear war. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has these words from Star Edsel of Superior.
We are expecting to celebrate the announcement of the new Edsel Wednesday, September 4th. And we're also expecting a great year for Edsel and for Star Edsel Incorporated. Now listen to this. You get free diaper service for 1 month to any child born September 4th, 1957 in the city of Superior. Plus a free drawing on a new portable television set. Entry blank for the drawing will be at the Star Edsel dealership. See it. Test drive it. It's the brand spanking new Edsel at Star Edsel at 1707 North 14th Street in Superior. Or phone EX2-2244. Denny?
The 9th Coast Guard District in Cleveland reports 180 persons lost their lives on the Great Lakes this summer. Boating accidents accounted for 24 of the deaths. The study points to several causes of pleasure boat mishaps: unseaworthy boats, insufficient life preservers, and unheeded small craft warnings. President Eisenhower says there's too much fighting among the Wisconsin Grand Ole Party. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
President Eisenhower says that it looks to him that too much emphasis is put on a supposed conflict between right and left wings of the Republican Party in the Wisconsin special election. That's the president's interpretation of a victory of Democrat William Proxmire in the race for the Senate seat left vacant after the death of Joseph McCarthy May 2nd. Proxmire defeated former Governor Walter Kohler, who ran as an all-out Eisenhower backer. Proxmire is the first Democratic senator from Wisconsin since F. Ryan Duffy was elected in 1933, the heyday of the New Deal. Proxmire was greeted by a cheering crowd of 1,000 when he returned from Washington, where he had served in his new post for 2 days before the session ended. He was elected in last Tuesday's special balloting when he scored a smashing victory over Kohler, Denny.
114-year-old Walter Williams sat in his rocking chair yesterday with a 103-degree fever and expressed sorrow over the death of another fellow Confederate soldier. But he vowed he would be the last Civil War veteran to die. Told that 109-year-old William Lundy had died in Crestview, Florida, Williams said, "I'm sorry to hear it. His family has my sympathy and that of my family." Williams and 111-year-old John Stalling of Slant, Virginia, are the only survivors of the Civil War. Duluthian Albert Wilson died last year at 109 years old, the last member of the Grand Army of the Republic. And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind, especially to teachers when you go back to school.
Back to school. Get there and stay there, cats and kittens. Gives me the willies, man, even though school fires up your jets and gives you the smarts.
Your English teacher must be proud.
Hey, that's why I'm here and not at Rocket Science Tech. Alrighty, the weatherman says this Tuesday, September 3rd, 1957, we'll see the end of drizzle drag tonight and get super Murgatroyd tomorrow with sunshine and 70. Oh, somebody stop my body from shaking. It's time for Jerry Lee Lewis with a whole lot of shaking.
Come on over, baby, whole lot of shaking. Yes, I said, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking. Oh, a lot of shaking going on. Well, I said, come on over, baby. We got chicken in the corner. I said shake, baby, shake. I said shake, baby, shake. I said shake, baby, shake. Come on over.
And doing all that shaking in his new hit, Whole lot of shaking going on Kickin' KUWS. Here's an important word from the birds, cats and kittens, and hot rodders. Cut the gas for a minute and listen up. As the kiddies make the scene back to school this week, chill in the school zones, so no agitating the gravel or burning rubber in your chariots. You dig what I'm saying?
I think you just told people to slow down in school zones. Not sure, but that's my guess.
You're earthbound, Danny. Earthbound, baby. Back to the tunes with the diamonds and the biggest praise going at the hop, baby. Yeah, here's the stroll on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Come, let's stroll. Stroll across the floor. Come, let's stroll. Stroll across the floor. Now turn around, baby. Let's stroll once more.
Hey, guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels rocking your world. It's a Radioactive Tuesday, September 3rd, 1957.
You're kind of like Pavlov's dog with that song, aren't you?
I can't help it, baby. It's my theme song. And play it in my sleep. I'll say, hey, 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 you got to help me out here, Denny.
I've got a rag for a gag ready.
Maybe some rope to tie me down, too. That'll keep me away from my mic switch. All right, let's try this again. From the cream of the crop, from the top of the pot, from the stack at the back of the wax, direct from the American Bandstand, the hottest dance craze since the black bottom of the roaring 20s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
Dance craze since the roaring 20s. The diamonds right there with a stroll. And I'll tell you, one sweet sax, too.
Did you just say what I think you said from your smutty mouth, McMichaels?
I said sax, man. Sax. As in the bent tube.
Oh. Well, the colonel's hearing is getting a little hard of nowadays. You know.
Douglas County Civil Defense Co-Chairman and Community Chess Minion, Colonel Joseph Buster Raffley.
I said hard of hearing, not deep, new guy.
Just call him McAnderson.
With him is Community Editor Harriet Farig.
Thank you, Denny. We are trying to raise $89,000 for the Community Chest with several admirable causes.
I'm a colonel, not an admiral.
Yes, of course. Sorry, Colonel. The Chest Fund goes to 8 worthy charitable organizations that make our city great. The Superior Children's Home has been taking in orphans since the turn of the century. 54 boys and girls live there now and are well taken care of, thanks to a generous community chest. But it's expensive. Not only do they feed and clothe these youngsters...
Boy, they chow down like newsmen at a free buffet.
That's impressive.
Don't interrupt Mrs. Farfig. Don't interrupt the lady with the funny name.
But the Superior Children's Home also supplies dental care, polio immunizations, provisions for glasses, all the things that make for a wholesome boy or girl growing up.
And there's the YMCA and the YMCA Boys Camp. 424 boys availed themselves to the Y in the past year. Keeps those rugrats off the streets and out of gangs. The Community Chest also provides for my favorite Americanization organization, the Boy Scouts. These boys learn to adhere to the Scout Code of Honor, affirming their duty to God and country. It's clear McScrewy here in his weird talk of awful music was never in the Boy Scouts.
A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrift, brave, clean, and loves rock and roll, baby.
Impressive, Timmy. But the last one should be reverent. Let's not forget the Girl Scouts. They, too, get help from the Community Chest. The Girl Scouts learn how to become better citizens by helping the needy, being self-reliant, confident young ladies, and other essential tools to become the hope makers of tomorrow. Your Community Chest contribution will also go to the St. Joseph's Children's Home, where 206 waifs were given the care you would want to be given to your own children. Supporting St. Joseph's Children's Home is a measure of our morality and generosity in our fair city.
This is exhausting, asking for money. Well, there's also the Douglas County 4-H and the Salvation Army. Now, the Salvation Army gave food, clothing, and lodging to more than 400 slackers in the past year.
Colonel! Many were transients and others down on their luck. That included 80 Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets so needy families could have a warm holiday celebration.
I don't care about their holiday constellation. I don't even know if we have to explain ourselves. I hate explaining myself.
Community Chest Chairman Frank Cirilli says we need to.
Okay, people. Well, open up those checkbooks and get busy. Oh, that is all.
I have this news just in from Douglas County Sheriff Lewis Bannock. Apparently some toughs tipped over 8 tombstones at Calvary Cemetery last night.
Oh, not cool, and they're just asking for a haunting.
Sheriff Bannock is asking for help from the public to solve the case.
Tombstone tippers? What kind of degenerate, no-good juvenile delinquent would tip over a dead person's tombstone? Today's youth. Go to hell in a handbasket.
Well, the sheriff has come to the right place. This sounds like a job for Machine Gun Kelly. Hang on, Sheriff Bannock. It's rock and roll to the rescue with the KUWS twin spin of Darlin's. First Darlin' is the Dell Vikings, and Come Go With Me on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Dum, 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 dee, doo, be, dum, dum.
Thank you. never give me heart.
Tom, 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 loving darling, Tom, come and go with me, Tom.
A twin spin. Here are the Diamonds and Little Darlin' on Kickin' KUWF.
Novella, that my lover was just for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong. To hold in mind your little hand, I'll know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
My dear, I was wrong to try to love her too. That my lover was just for you.
Canadian Quartet of the Diamonds and Little Darlin' wrapping up a twin spin on Kickin' KUWS. As promised, the old Tombstone Tipper himself, Cool Cal Sabatini, solid sports, man.
Tombstone Tippers are cursed, you know. It's no joke.
Gotcha. Cemeteries are no laughing matter. We'll dig up some clues before the show is out. Take it away, Cal.
Let's face off, fans. The Milwaukee Braves labored fruitfully on Labor Day as they took two more steps toward the National League title by hammering the Chicago Cubs 23-10 and 4-0 in a doubleheader. Thunderous hitting in the opener and tremendous pitching by Bob Trowbridge in the nightcap put the Braves 3.5 games ahead of the second-place St. Louis Cardinals. Braves manager Fred Haney, who has refused to look beyond the next game, says, quote, "That helped a little. We've got another game tomorrow. Spahn is pitching, and there are 24 games to go." Batting stars for the Braves were Wes Covington and Hank Aaron, who drove home 6 runs each, and Bob Hazel and Frank Torrey. Hazel and Torrey each banged 4 hits, and Torrey scored 6 times in the first game to tie a Major League record held by Mel Ott of the New York Giants and Johnny Pesky of the Boston Red Sox. The Yankees should have wrapped up their third consecutive pennant with a 3-game sweep against second-place Chicago, now find themselves with only 4.5-game lead after losing a pair at Baltimore. They blew a 6-run lead in an 8-7 11-inning defeat and then dropped a 6-1 decision as Connie Johnson hit the American League season high with 14 strikeouts. Yankee Mickey Mantle also lost ground in the twin bill, going 1-for-7 and dropping 4 points to 373. That cost him the batting lead. Boston's Ted Williams, in bed with a cold, regained the lead with his static 375. The Duluth Superior Twice Sox are set to meet the Winnipeg Goldeyes today at Wade Stadium after falling yesterday to the St. Cloud Rock 6-1 to complete the regular schedule. Today's game will start a 5-game postseason series with the Goldeyes. The annual hole-in-one golf tournament held at the Nemadji course yesterday was won by Roy Martinson. At the 144-yard 7th hole, Martinson got within 3 feet of the cup. Rules provide for a hole-in-one or closest to the hole. This is Cal Sabatini hoping all your face-offs are friendly.
And no ghost haunt me because I'm making cemetery jokes.
Be sure to say hello to Jacob Marley for me.
Ooh, sounds like a blast. One more tune, then we solve the tombstone puzzler. Here's the new kid on the block, Buddy Holly and the Crickets with Peggy Sue on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallies. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallies. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue, oh Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I need you, Peggy Sue.
I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true, oh Peggy, my Peggy Sue. I want you, Peggy Sue.
Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Yes, I need you, Peggy Sue. I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I want you.
From Decca Records, The Crickets, with lead singer-songwriter Buddy Holly of Lubbock, Texas, on Kickin' KUWS. Oh, I think those cats are going to go far.
We have Machine Gun Kelly on the line from Calvary Cemetery in Superior, the scene of the infamous outbreak of Tip Tombstones. Hello, Gun.
Hey, what's buzzing, cousin?
This place gives me the cooties, cousin, but I'm here with Assistant Museum Curator Jerry Stowe. Yes, that's Gerald Stowe, please. That's a boss solid black cape there. It used to be all the rage in the old country.
I got it from Master at the Transylvania Mercantile for his 200th birthday.
Bad, Vivian. Bad.
Sorry, Master.
Who's the dark chick with the classy chassis? Yes, this is my helper, Vivian. No last name? Yes, no. She razzes my berries.
Is she wearing her black spike heels?
And a couple of her teeth are spiked, too.
I know a guy with fangs.
Because he got hit by a hockey puck?
They might not be natural, but they're still cool.
Thanks, Cal. So, Jerry, you're helping solve this lame tombstone tipping case? Yes, I'm assisting in the restoration efforts of the 8 desecrations of the historic marker. And look out, Vivian. Don't lean on that.
Oh, sorry, Master. I didn't mean it. I'll make it better, I promise.
Make that 9 desecrations. She's kind of a spaz, isn't she? Breaks lots of stuff, huh? You should see the mausoleum.
I make the mausoleum comfortable and homey.
Yes, you see, headstones date back to antiquity, telling of the deceased's life, often recounting great battles fought against barbarians. Then, as Christianity spread, headstones took on the form of crosses. I remember rows and rows of old stone and wooden crosses marking the final resting places of entire communities.
Oh, my Master doesn't like crosses.
Entire family histories going back a millennium can be traced at cemeteries. So to defile a headstone is to defile a lost spirit, a family history, a sacred rock.
So cemeteries really kill you?
I wish, but I adore cemeteries. The faded gray stones, the well-kept lawns, the intricate engravings, perpetually dying flowers. I find peace here as in no other place. Hey, Gunn's not a big fan of being in these digs, baby. I'm getting unreal vibes. That stone says, where you now stand, once I stood too. Creepy. Jerry Stowe's splitting like into thin air. Vivian's gone too.
Like bats out of hell.
I did see bat-like birds leave the scene.
The curator did not turn into a bat and fly away. Any suspects in this case, Gunn?
Caretaker Stanley Smith is here. In fact, his pad is right on the edge of the cemetery.
I like it here. The sculptures, the history. Gets real dark at night, too. And we don't get bothered by little kids running around, making a ruckus, pointing to my nose and ears.
They are kind of gargantuan and hairy.
I've seen it before. Tombstone tippers. Sometimes the stones break when they do it. No good kids is what they are. But dim bulbs. They'll tip a big stone and it'll land on one of their buddies. Trap them so they can't get away.
Tombstone tipping tip. Make sure one doesn't fall on you.
Some of these stones weigh 500 pounds or more. Anyway, I found a jacket here from last night's little party. They were a bunch of JVs from Central High.
You sound like a regular Sherlock Holmes or Charlie Chan to figure out who they are and what school they go to.
I examined footprints in the grass. I noted the cigarette butts left behind. I examined some spittle, too.
Yeah.
They're part of a JV gang, too.
How do you know?
Clues, experience, deductions. And the jacket said Central High Tombstone Tippers Gang on the back of it, with Charlie Smith's name on the breast. He's my cousin's brother's wife's best friend's kid.
His kooky case is closed. I'm going to make like a library and book, King Timothy. I don't want to bump into Jacob Marley or even Casper, no matter how friendly he might be.
This is the weirdest, most twisted radio show I have ever heard.
An 18-carat job, man. Well, time to cut out, cats and kittens. Coming up tonight is Bob Junker's sports specials, Pat Cadigan with more tunes, and Cedric Adams News. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and the Tombstone Tippers gang don't pound on us. For Machine Gun Kelly, Cool Cal, Dennis Anderson, and the gang, Tim Michaels here rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1957, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Danielle Kading, Jennifer Simonson, Bruce McDonald, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1957 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my, my.
Boy, they chow down like newsmen at a free buffet.
That's impressive.
Don't interrupt, Mrs. Power Fig.
I'm sorry, I didn't have your mic.
Well, that's not my fault either.
I have yours, but not mine.
All right, well, nobody listens to him anyhow.
You can say that again.